Looking to propel your commercial real estate project forward? At Associated Bank, we've got you. With long-term relationships, expertise in your market, and prompt callbacks on inquiries. Contact a relationship manager today at associatedbank.com/CRE. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Good to talk to you, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
I want to focus on a couple things today. One of them, property taxes. The other is just some changing dynamics in the real estate lending area. I want to talk to you first about this report on that. And it said that investors in U.S. commercial real estate experienced a more active debt market in the first half of 2025. Tell us what that means. Is that good or bad?
Well, it depends. I think for borrowers, it's very good. Right? There's more sources of debt. That means that, you know, there are new players coming into the market, new lending sources that are coming in that are financing deals. And I think in a rising interest rate environment, when we have high costs, tariff uncertainty, more financing sources available is a great win for developers. For me personally, in my seat, it's bad, right? Because I have more competition. But I think, you know, all of these new debt sources have their own role in our commercial real estate environment. You know, banks are more traditional, standard underwriting. You know, people are, we're kind of a known commodity. The big source of a big change is some life insurance companies are coming in, which would traditionally be a long-term, low-leverage, permanent debt financing option. Now some of them are starting to come into the front end on development. They're financing construction loans similar to what, you know, the majority of our business is. And it has been primarily a bank really dominated environment. I think now with these new investor-driven funds coming into the market, they're a very good source of capital for developers, primarily because they're not regulated. They can go up a little higher in proceeds, which is extremely important for developers right now, similar to what we said earlier with in high interest rate environment. Debt funds can get more aggressive because they don't have to worry about regulation, federal regulation from regulators, similar to what traditional lending sources and debt sources like banks are. I think I read recently debt funds accounted for 30% of all construction loans done in the first half of 2025. So, I mean, that's a huge of capital for developers that are looking for their deals to pencil when traditional funding sources similar to mine, we can't get to the proceeds they need where debt funds can. They'll charge a substantially higher interest rate, but you know, developers are willing to pay that if they can get these projects off the ground and build.
Mm-hmm. You said there that there was the regulations are different, and that can be good in some cases, but can it also be bad in other cases? I mean, what are the pitfalls here?
You know, I mean, the pitfalls are there's plenty of available pitfalls that these debt funds need to be careful with. You know, leverage, if you offer too much leverage, if the project isn't able to perform, and also, I guess, there's a lot of pitfalls on a developer side, right? If a developer can't hit the pro forma they think they're going to get, the rents they think they're going to get, if their expenses come in higher, well, now this debt fund's going to come in and foreclose on their property. Really, what these debt funds are is these are, they were traditionally in the years past, were funds that would put money in on the equity side. Now they realize they can do it on the debt side. And if they end up eventually owning this a property because they had to take it back through foreclosure, well, guess what? They had their returns but from the developer while the project is under construction. Mm-hmm. And as it's starting to stabilize, if it isn't able to stabilize, now they can take over the property through foreclosure and own it, which was what they really was their original intention.
Dan, there's also a report that says an estimated $300 billion worth of commercial property loans are coming due in the second half of this year, where we're at right now. Talk to us about why we need to be paying attention to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, I think this is the normal cycle of loan maturities. Usually everyone gets up in arms about these wave of debt foreclosure or debt maturities coming up, and then really it's the normal course of business. But I think, you know, all of these waves that we're going to be seeing going forward are going to be deals that are originated in 2020 to 2022, right? Loans coming off or borrowers coming off of 3 and 5 year loans. This is always a concerning issue for certain asset classes, maybe not even certain asset classes, but deal by deal basis, really.
So, Dan, the concern here is that there might be some of these asset classes that can't handle this debt repayment, right? They, in whatever financial condition, they can't take care of this loan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they haven't had the rent growth that industrial, multifamily, and some retail has been able to experience, they can't chase these increased interest rates, right? These, assuming these are fixed rate loans, they haven't had the income increases to offset what's going to be a substantial jump in their interest rate. So this is going to be something that people are going to be ultra careful with. I mean, if you're a borrower coming off of a fixed rate loan, if you decide to float or if you fix a new loan, you're in most circumstances, you're going to have to come up with some equity to reduce the debt load to be able for that property to, you know, then continue making your monthly mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm. I want to switch gears here because I want to get into something else. You know, people have been opening up their tax bills over the last week or so and really getting some sticker shock in Cook County and some of the surrounding counties as well, but mainly Cook County and in Chicago. Some homeowners are seeing increases of 16.7% up to 25% up to 50. There are even some areas that saw 133% increase in their taxes. Talk to us a little bit about why we're seeing these increases and also how sustainable is this?
Now, this is something that people in our world have expected. With the decrease in value for downtown office, downtown retail, downtown apartment properties, these downtown office buildings and commercial buildings were huge revenue generators for real estate taxes. The spending hasn't changed. So with the decrease in value comes a decrease in the tax expense. Unfortunately, like I said, the spending hasn't changed. So that money needs to be made up by the homeowners, right? You have the commercial or residential. Those are the two real estate tax generating bodies. And with the decrease in value across the commercial landscape in Chicago, Cook County, across the country, this is going to be a phenomenon that's not going to be strictly a Chicago-based problem. This is going to be everywhere across the country. And this is something that I think the businesses community has been trying to warn about, is we can't keep, you know, adding the load of real estate taxes and tax income on commercial properties, because unfortunately this isn't new. This is a cyclical business. Values deteriorate over time and will always continue to do so. So this is something that I think is going to be a taxpayer homeowner based burden for at least the next couple of years. I mean, I think the taxes in Cook County are reassessed every 3 years. They're on a triennial schedule, and this is something that's not going to change, I don't think, for a couple more years. It's unfortunate, but I mean, there's really not much you can do. I mean, when there are demonstrated vacancies, and you and I have talked about this, Steve, for years about the loss in value of these commercial properties when they're trading hands. I mean, your people are buying buildings that 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago were worth $200-300 million. Mm-hmm. Now they're buying them for $30 and $40 million. Right. I mean, it's still, yes, it's a huge number, but that value is just gone. So, yeah. You know, the value, I mean, the associated tax bill is going to be decreased accordingly.
Yeah, the thing about this, though, I think has a lot of people concerned, is that when you talk about homeowners, and there was this one instance where a woman in the Lawndale, North Lawndale neighborhood had $3,300 in property taxes last year. This year, it's $7,000. There were other instances where it's doubled, you tripled, and even quadrupled in some places. The burden is just that it can't be met by homeowners, right? I mean, so what's going to be the breaking point here?
unfortunately, it's going to be the homeowners. No, that's the thing that Fritz Kaye always kind of appeal to is, look, I'm going to reduce the burden on homeowners because homeowners are the ones who vote. And I think the homeowners need to realize, not just Fritz Kaye, but all of their elected officials need to be evaluated based on the spending, right? I think the city and the county has way too much spending, way too much waste. And I think there's going to be a change in the city hall, a change in county government, change in local government. Once these, the aldermen and the mayor and the county board president realize, look, we can't just keep spending the way we have without consequences from what are now a huge bulk of the taxpayers, our residents.
Right. I was just going to say, in worst case scenarios, the homeowners are going to have to make a decision about, finding more money or selling these properties and moving out.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. Is you don't want people who have been in a home or been in an area for their entire lives now get priced out, not because of external factors, gentrification or something like that, but really a homegrown issue with real estate taxes. The commercial community has been complaining about this for years. The taxes are just, they're not sustainable. And they're not predictable. So when people open up that tax bill this week, they're going to realize, wow, the commercial community was right. This isn't sustainable. This isn't something that we can predict. And now there's a shock, and now people are going to have to really express their dissatisfaction with their votes.
Yeah, and not getting into the way government operates, but you mentioned the spending part of it. Have you ever seen spending be cut, and have you ever seen taxes like this, the tax bills like this, rolled back?
That's the one thing I think homeowners and property owners, small property owners, can really take advantage of is finding a real estate tax attorney who can appeal your taxes. And that's something that the business community is fully aware of and fully takes advantage of. There's plenty of real estate attorneys, tax attorneys, who are willing to contest your taxes, and they don't take a fee up front. Mm-hmm. They only get paid if, the attorneys on TV, but, they only get paid if they are successful in reducing your taxes. So it really is no, there's no disadvantage for the regular, everyday Chicago homeowner to contest their real estate taxes. I mean, if an attorney can bring it down by $5,000, I think you pay them like 30% or something like that. So in the end, you're still making or saving money.
Yeah. And in some cases, we're hearing that that's not been happening this time around. I'm one of the people that had their real estate taxes doubled from last year with this new. And our condo building, we had an attorney try to get an appeal and could not. We could not appeal. It failed. So I think people have been trying that, and that's not working either. I guess the other question about back to the commercial side of this is that sector going to improve any where we get some of these buildings filled again, and where perhaps some of the tax burden would be taken away from private citizens?
Well, the building needs to fill first before those taxes are going to change, right? Because, most of the commercial buildings, at least not multifamily, the leases are triple net, meaning the tenants pay all of the operating expenses, which includes real estate tax. So until these buildings fill up, will they then be able to have the rent and revenue generation from those tenants to be able to pay the higher tax bill? Now, when a building goes from 50% lease to 100% lease, now you have a higher income base, taxes can go up. Tenants can pay for that extra increase in taxes. So I think it's going to be a slow-moving process, but eventually one that will change, because I think there's, you and I have been talking about this for a while, too. I think some of the pain is starting to come out of particularly the office environment in downtown, where, people are tearing off the Band-Aid. They're selling these buildings. So an opportunistic investor can come in and buy an office building for pennies or nickels on the dollar. And now we can reduce that investor can now reduce the rent from what would be maybe $30 a square foot to $12 a square foot. And that attracts new tenants. So I think there hopefully is going to be a small trickle back into an appreciating office environment. And when the buildings are full, they can then bear a higher percentage of the taxes. And now, you know, the weight goes, it's shifted back to commercial properties versus residential.
Dan, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. They can always email me, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com, or my office, 312-544-4657.
Dan Barons, Senior Vice President in Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. You can hear more of our thought leader conversations at associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership.